Hey teachers, if you're tired of not knowing how to create your lessons that reach EL newcomers in your classroom in a way that your content is actually accessible to them, and you no longer want to be limited by the constant push to move your ELs forward without concrete understanding behind why simple accommodations in your already existing lessons make all the difference for the newcomers, I have something exciting to share with you. I have compiled every masterclass I have ever recorded on how to teach and reach English learners in a regular education classroom. I am talking strategies, how-tos, and ready-made resources, and have created a digital masterclass library called Light the Way to EL Teaching Success, where you can get instant access to 10 practical and actionable videos, 8 done-for-you lessons, and 1 professional development certificate for 3 hours of your time. If you are looking for practical PD that you can do on your own time and gain all the knowledge you need about teaching English learners from the comfort of your home, Light the Way to EL Teaching Success Digital Masterclass Library is for you. To learn more and to join, click the link in the show notes, and I cannot wait to see you inside. You're listening to episode 106 of the ESL Teaching Podcast. We talk a lot about instruction of English learners, how we can accommodate our lessons, how we can scaffold, and what to teach them in general. But today I wanted to bring to light another aspect of working with English learners that is just as important for all teachers to know as the instructional strategies. It is the social-emotional aspect that is involved in moving to another country, learning a new language, making a new life, or for those students who have lived here all their life, it's the feeling like you are a part of two worlds that you're trying to navigate and to bridge. These non-instructional challenges that our ELs come with into the classroom do affect their engagement and performance. So in this episode, I will share 6 challenges and how they can be addressed. Of course, there are many more, and each student's situation might have even more nuances, but let's begin with 6. Are you ready? Let's get to the episode. Hello and welcome to the ESL Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Yeva Grosslis, otherwise known as simply Yeva, and I am so thankful that you tuned in. I'm looking forward to sharing both my knowledge and experience on this podcast, as well as that of my fellow teachers. Hello, hello, everyone. I believe in teaching the whole student and in being the whole teacher. This simply means that I believe in honoring the humanness in each of us with all of our gifts and perceived shortcomings. According to the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, a whole child approach to education is one that honors the humanity of each teacher and student and is critical to equitably preparing each student to reach their full potential. This starts by creating environments of belonging and connection for students and adults to engage and thrive in. There's a whole movement of the whole student approach, which incorporates not only academics, which traditionally education emphasizes academic success, but also promotes the intellectual and emotional well-being of students. These soft skills of self-motivation, communication, emotional control, problem-solving, leadership, and simply having a sense of purpose, to name just a few, are increasingly coming to the forefront of education. And without addressing them, it is getting even more difficult to teach students the so-called hard skills, which are the more concrete skills that include academic knowledge of reading, writing, math, and so on. I think I'm not the only one that has seen a rise in student behaviors that make us question what is going on. For example, lack of ability to focus or lack of resilience and perseverance, blurred boundaries between personal and professional communication, and my personal high alarm worry, lack of caring about anything and in general. So while this is a big topic for all educators, and I would love to hear from you if you are seeing this as well, As always, I want to talk about English learners and what challenges in the soft skills department, in the social-emotional department, they are facing every day at school. And to be fair, this has been true even before we realized it's a thing. And this has been true even before the life-changing pandemic that's changed all of the education and, you know, our children's attitudes and behavior. So there are many of the challenges, and I'm not going to list them all. And in addition, some of them are going to be more applicable, maybe more clearly seen in secondary students, while others are experienced by all ages across the board. I have picked ones that I have seen in my classroom and have noticed that they really impede language learning progress, and sometimes quite significantly. So there are six of them, and let's get started. The first one is the feeling of lack of confidence. This is a huge challenge for many English learners. If you are any language learner, this is probably the number one obstacle you'd have to overcome. I'm learning a new language because I want to learn a new language, and it is the lack of confidence, especially when you are hearing native speakers converse or somebody who has years of experience in that language. It is intimidating. You think you're going to appear like you're a fool. And language is a means of communication, and the first thing we learn is to speak. So imagine you're a naturally shy person, for example, even when you're comfortable with your first language and now you have started learning English. It will be brought out to you. Even if you have an outgoing personality and appear to be self-confident, speaking is something that a lot of English learners in an English-speaking environment are always worried about. First, pronunciation is a huge aspect of it. For speakers of some languages, it is truly difficult to pronounce English words, especially ones that contain sounds like th or th. Other sounds might include R. This is typically more difficult for speakers of Asian languages. Or for some languages, V is frequently pronounced indiscriminately as W. Short and long vowel confusion might lead to uncomfortable situations. And if the native speaker who is communicating with a new English learner is not aware of this, the conversation might result in embarrassment and unnecessary stress. So keeping in mind that a lot of English learners might not feel very confident in themselves, and being graceful with them and open and assuming the best is one of the better ways to deal with it. Now, there is a solution that you can try, and that is called role reversal. So instead of being the teacher, be the learner. Ask your students about their language and to teach you some phrases that you know. This really quickly shifts the perspective and builds empathy, and you realize that when somebody's learning a new language, they are putting all of themselves out there. Challenge number two is comparison to native speakers. This is something that is natural, but can also be really almost debilitating in some cases. It is natural to compare yourself to another person, and my students frequently beat themselves up by saying phrases like, my English is bad, I don't know what I'm saying, I don't want to speak because I'm not good enough, and any other variation of these. And speaking is the one area of language that is immediately noticeable, and we tend to judge everything about it, whether we want to or not. But offering a reframe is huge in this situation. And if it comes from more sources than just you, than just one teacher, the more people in the students' lives offer a reframe to this, it's even better. I always like to quote from Albert Einstein. Everybody's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. If you judge the stage of where you are at on your language learning journey by whether or not you're able to speak, read, and write like a native speaker, you will never ever feel enough. So I always encourage my students to be kind to themselves and to practice compassionate self-talk. I ask to pause And then we ask this philosophical question that really doesn't have an answer, but it does offer a little bit of a reframe. What is enough and who decides what is good enough, right? If you keep saying I'm bad, I'm not good, this is not right, and I don't speak good English as you, who decides when it is good enough for you to feel proud of all of your achievements? It is a tall order for a teenager to understand this fully when the entire world is screaming at you of how you should be and what you should be doing, but I will probably die trying to encourage them and help them see that they are where they have to be in that particular moment. Again, like I mentioned, comparison can be debilitating in any area of your life, and it only prevents you from experiencing learning fully. So pausing whenever you can at the start of the lesson, during your conversation with students, and letting them know that you see them will sow the seeds of trust and growth. Challenge number three is overambition. I love me an ambitious student in my classroom. Ambitious students are very motivated and driven and really keep me on my toes. I feel like I'm making a difference. However, there is a downside to it. Frequently, this drive comes from a lot of family pressure. If something is not going the way the student expects it to go, for example, they have been here a year, and they are still not able to read a book assigned in their English class with ease, they become agitated and irritated. Now, this overambition can come also from unrealistic expectations from parents of what it takes to learn a language. I've heard so many requests for more work, more practice, questions like, how can we learn the language faster? What can we do to make my student progress sooner? Well, have I said this before? Language learning takes time, all right? And even though sometimes it seems like nothing is happening, the learning is happening. Where I teach, families come from backgrounds that truly value education and want their children to fulfill their dream of going to Harvard, Yale, or MIT. And quite a few of my students strive to take IB classes or AP classes, which, as we know, are highly language intense as well. All of this is great. I'm not saying you shouldn't strive for the highest goal you have. I'm actually very impressed and proud of my students who are, by the way, succeeding in their high-level classes, which is another example, a clear example that language, learning a language does not impede you taking higher level classes, right? But I also see the stress they put themselves through and the negative self-talk I talked about earlier. And this makes me question so much more than just the surface level, right? Where does this come from? Is this, again, going back to not enoughness, right? Does it come from just knowing that the most famous universities in the U.S., you know, in the rest of the world, not everybody knows maybe the universities that are state universities or some other colleges. So maybe it comes from just knowing the names of those famous universities and some prestige associated with it, thinking that the others are not as good. I don't know the answer to this, but I do want to offer a solution for, again, reframing a little bit. So it is important to appreciate and support your students' ambitions. I certainly do. I really, like I said, I really admire the hard work and the work ethic that my students have, and they take on to their shoulders so much. At the same time, it is important to talk about realistic goals and learning expectations that allow students to see how every step they take is connected towards their wonderful greater ambition. All right, the flip side of this challenge is challenge number four, complete lack of motivation. And I'm sure you have seen that as well. There can be different reasons for this, including lack of vocabulary, for example, and general language knowledge, right, which prevents students from communication or feels so overwhelming that they just simply check out. It could be lack of interest in the topic at hand, which they might not understand anyway. Also, there might be difficulties in learning. There might be lack of support, both at school and at home. There could be lack of time due to situations where they also have to be working to support the family. These are just a few reasons. And of course, a lack of motivation will be different for each student. But this is where it's important to look at your student with this whole child approach, right? Getting to know them, providing them with a safe environment to know that you are in their corner. So the solution, it could be connecting with a student and seeing what they're interested in. It may not be your subject area, right? But maybe you could incorporate examples that in your classes that relate to your students' interests during your class. You could also guide them through learning. If they are overwhelmed and that results in lack of motivation, think about less is more. I already talked about this in one of my previous podcast episodes. What can you zero in on that would help your students move forward as opposed to overloading them with all the information? Challenge number five is cultural differences. And when we say cultural differences, there's so much to talk about. And they lurk on every corner for our English learners. But let's talk about a little bit. I took a few aspects. So these include, for example, communication styles could be different in different cultures. Attitudes towards education, right? Constructs of time and space. Adult and child interactions, traditions, beliefs, and so much more. So I'll give you some examples. They're quite fascinating, but it will bring some thinking to you. For example, many of my students come from more teacher-centered environments where they are used to lecture-type classes. So talking when called upon is normal. Volunteering your opinion is not. Getting up from seat to go to the bathroom at any time is not encouraged, and there might be rules in the class as to when you're going to the bathroom. Speaking respectfully to a teacher is an ingrained expectation. Now, EL students from environments such as these might feel off balance when the communication with the teacher is more casual, which in American schools I have found it is much more casual, right? And when there are more open-ended assignments, including collaborative work. So if a student is at lower proficiency levels, they might struggle to even understand the assignment or what the expectation is. So keeping this in mind is very, very important. Now let's talk about time. And just one aspect of time. Some cultures view time completely differently, okay? So this topic almost deserves its separate podcast episode, but I will just give you an example here. There are cultures that are past-oriented, present-oriented, and future-oriented, all right? So the cultures that are past-oriented really value traditions, and they really value set ways of doing things, okay? History is important, change is slow. And let's think about countries like China, for example, Japan, could be Britain, okay? So these are very tradition-oriented countries, and it's in the past. Present-oriented cultures are ones that view past that something already happened, it's completed. And then the future is uncertain, so the focus is mostly on the here and now. It's the present, right? And you might find these countries in Latin America and Africa. Now, future-oriented cultures are those that are looking ahead. They are optimistic because they feel that they can create their own future. So in a culture like this, planning is a huge thing. Thinking about, you know, the future in general, you know, college education, retirement planning, right? It is much, much more valued than going with the flow. And you guessed it right. U.S. falls into the category of future-oriented countries. So now I'm going to ask you, how do you think this might affect your students who are trying to navigate expectations of an American society and school? Think about where your students come from and how this simple attitude, which is really, you cannot see it, but it comes with you from your culture, might affect them in all of the requirements in the school. And finally, we have challenge number 6. Okay, so language learning plateau. It's also a social emotional thing for us. When students are just starting to learn a language, they progress fairly quickly. So this learning is very visible, very almost palpable. They memorize new words, this sentence structures, pronunciation. They are able to identify objects and words in a text. It's easy to see the difference between someone who was unable to utter a single sound in English just a little while ago and someone who is able to express their basic needs a month or two later. However, if we do not provide the student with sufficient opportunities to communicate, right, the student doesn't know where they're going. And, if we don't have clear goals for them and don't communicate them to the student or use too much information for them, they will be easily overwhelmed and the progress will slow down. The language learning is the fastest at the very beginning. And then once we no longer can see the clear progress, that is very important time to create concrete goals for your students. So both you and them know where you're going. An example goal could be understand and be able to use vocabulary related to your topic with 80% accuracy by the end of this unit. This is specific and relates to your class, and it gives a time frame for the student to achieve. And that is all for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to all of these challenges and it brought some awareness to you. I hope you found this episode useful. And if you are an EL teacher, please share this with your colleagues, regular education colleagues. As you always know, I'm on a mission to reach as many teachers as possible and help them discover their own power in reaching multilingual learners in the classroom. Again, I want to hear from you. Do you see these challenges in your classrooms? What were the aha moments that came to you while listening to these? Send me a message on Instagram and let's chat. Thank you for listening and until next time. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, be sure to do two things. First, make sure to subscribe to the ESL Teaching Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And second, leave a positive review wherever you listen, on iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform. Positive reviews will improve the chances of this podcast to be discovered in the feed and help our fellow ESL ELL teachers. And of course, there's a third thing. If you aren't following me on social media yet, come join me on Instagram at Simply Yeva ESL, Facebook Simply Yeva, or connect with me on my website, simplyyeva.com. Thanks again, and until next time.